Morning, and we'll have her come and sing a song for us as we go into the Word of God. Why don't you take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to the book of 1 John. I'm going to read the entire chapter, 1 John chapter number 1. I want to share some thoughts with you from this area of Scripture this morning. I still hear some pages turning. 1 John chapter number 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Father, thank you again this morning for your word. God, we thank you for the truth that can be found in your word. Lord, I thank you that this book, from the beginning to the end, clearly spells out what you want for our lives and what you wanted us to have, and that was to have a right relationship with you. And I pray this morning through the word of God as it come forward through your vessel that you might cleanse it of self, fill it with your spirit, forgive me of any sin that could be a hindrance to that which you once said, all that which you want done in the hearts and lives of your people. God, I praise you this morning and thank you for our pastor. Thank you for the privilege to serve with him and the responsibility that he's given to me this morning to stand in his stead, but to stand before his people, but also to stand in your stead most of all. I pray that you might use this hour to speak to hearts and lives of people. I pray this morning that be any that come that do not know Christ as Savior, today would be the day that they will make that decision for you before it's eternally too late. Again, we love you and we praise you. We thank you for what you've done and for what you're going to do in our midst. We ask these things now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Miss Tony has our special for this morning.
High upon this mountain, the sun is shining bright. My heart is filled with gladness here above the cares of life. But I've just come through the valley of trouble, fear, and pain. It was there I came to know my God enough to stand and say, even in the valley, this road of life has led you to a valley of defeat. You wonder if the Father has heard your desperate plea. There is hope in that rugged place where tears of sorrow dwell. Can't you hear him gently?
Thank you, Miss Tony. I tell you, even in the valleys, God is good. Aren't you glad of that this morning?
Amen.
Aren't you glad of that this morning? Wow. What a tremendous thought when you think about that. You know, we come to this portion in time in the service, and I hope this morning that you came for a blessing. If you didn't come looking for one, then you probably won't get one. Amen? As I apologize to my girls this morning of not introducing them because they're not regular visitors here to this church, but I did that for a reason, or I can kind of slip that in there now that I didn't do that. But as I think about them this morning, I think about this passage and area of Scripture. As you all know, just recently, I celebrated my 25th birthday, amen, 25 plus a few years, and I thought about, I've been waddling in my thoughts about what I would share this morning from the Word of God, and as I think about this passage, it relates to me in a different way, and I hope that it relates to you in a way, spiritually speaking, but when I think about my girls, I think about the relationship that I have with them. And I think about the relationship that God wants to have with us. And when God created all of this, as Brother Jason so eloquently talked about this morning, God created this world and the people in it to worship Him. And it was God's intent that we would have a relationship with Him. And that relationship was severed in the Garden of Eden. And as I look at John and his writing, I believe John here in the first part of this area of Scripture, John could take, or we could take that, and it talks about the deity of Christ and who he really was. And I think about that this morning as we would look into it, and we won't get into maybe so much of the depths of that. But what I wanted to share when I say I think about my girls, I think about the relationship that we have with them. But when I think about them, I preface it this way. Each one of them did something special for me for my birthday and sharing with me for memories of what they saw in their father. And one, the oldest, we put her first. She put together a real nice book of the journey of her hero, which is her father.
Yes,
amen?
Sir.
And she did that, and it just reminded me even of this verse, and we'll get to that. And then Brittany, in her personality and the way that she wanted to honor her dad and showing him how much she loves him, she put together a video, and a lot of y'all are in that video, and I praise God for y'all taking part in that and making that even special for me as well. But I think about that, and she put together the video, and she calls her dad her hero.
Oh, that's good.
Who's somebody who's always... put her,
wow,
her mom,
amen,
and her sister first.
Hey.
And I praise God for that.
Amen.
I started this morning to try to figure out how I could just show y'all the little clip of that, but I didn't go through that because I probably feel like I would mess that all up. I got enough going through my mind of trying to keep the service in order to do that, so I wouldn't do that. But I wanted to thank God for them and them being here this morning while they come to visit with their mother and their father. My oldest is sitting next to her mother. My youngest is sitting next to her sister. That's Britt, I can tell you, sitting to her mother, y'all that don't know. And my youngest is sitting next to her oldest, and her name is Brittany. She lives in Cleveland. The other one sitting to her mother lives in Pensacola. But as I think about them and what they wanted to share, or how they put all of those things together to show me how much they love me. And when I think about the Bible here, and when John is writing a letter to some people or people that he loved.
Yeah.
And he's writing as if he's writing to his children. Because if you go through the book of 1 John, he's writing, said, these children, my little children, these are the things that I'm writing. These are the things that I want you to know. These are the things that I want you to understand. And when John is writing, he says, that which we have seen from the beginning, when he's talking about Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
And he's talking about how God wanted to relate to us and confide in, or confirm to us what he wants for us and what he wants from us. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to express his love for us. And John is writing here telling the people that he's writing to, and even he's telling us this morning, that God so loved us. And you could go through the book of John, and John has so many powerful and so many wonderful statements that he make, and everything that John wrote, even in John, in 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, all of those, the writings of what he's writing, he wanted people to believe who Jesus was. And talked about how important that we believe, because if we believe, we have an opportunity to go to heaven one day. And the only way to get to heaven is to understand that Jesus Christ is the only way that we can get there. And what a wonderful truth that he would share this morning with us, to understand that God, when he wants us to know who he was, he wants us to look at his son. Because he is the word of God. And if God is speaking to us, and the Bible tells us in times past, God spoke through the prophets. But today God is speaking to us through his word, and his word is Jesus Christ. And everything that you want to know about God, you can find it in the pages of those books from Genesis to Revelation. God is talking to us this morning from his word. And his son is what John wanted them to see and to understand. We have the very God of God right here before us. And John wanted to tell them how important this relationship with God was. And one of the things, let me say this, if I don't say it before I can forget it, one of the things that John wanted us to see in this relationship, one of the things that hindered the relationship, even in the beginning, most of y'all sit and we smile and we laugh and talk about, when Pastor White witnesses to somebody, I like to go back to Genesis and show you where it all began, how it all started. So the beginning for me is important, because if you don't understand how you got where you are, you never understand how you need to get from where you are to get to where you want to go, and heaven is where you want to go. So we can understand that. So the beginning to John was important. The beginning to me in the Bible is important. And the things that he's speaking about, death which we've heard and death which we've seen from the very beginning, is manifested right before our eyes. And the thing that hinders the relationship as we can look at it this morning, if time allows, is sin. And because of Adam and Eve's sin in the garden, it broke the relationship that God wanted to have. And God, through his mercy and through his grace, he wants to restore that relationship. And John is writing, and John is one of those guys, I think he's kind of like, was very sensitive to the things of God and the word of God. And he was wanted to project that to those that was reading. And I believe he wants to project that to us this morning as we look at it. Not only did it benefit those that he was writing to, and John thought so much of what he was doing, some of them he wrote, and he says, he's talking about the other writers of the other gospels or the other disciples that were there as they were writing. He wanted them to, that were writing, because you know what? When I think about one of my girls, they wrote out what they said. The other one spoke out what she said. And God is doing the same thing. He's written, giving us the written word so that we won't forget what he wants us to do. And Jesus Christ came and spoke the words so that we wouldn't forget what God would have us to do. You know what? People want God on their terms, but God will never come to us on our condition. God comes to us on his conditions. But I'm thankful to God today, but his position hasn't changed. God is the same today. He'll be the same yesterday, and he'll be the same tomorrow, because he has not changed. But we need to change our position when we think about who God really is. I want you to think about it this morning. We're going to think about, look at two things I want us to think about here. First of all, the title of the message of my thought here is this morning, the blessings of God and the benefits of God through Jesus Christ. And one of the blessings that those that John was writing to, or that he wanted to understand what was going on, John was writing to them so that they would understand the importance of the fact of what he's saying here. That which we have seen, he says in verse 1, that which we have seen, or that which was from the beginning, that which we've heard, that which we've seen with our eyes, with which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. John is writing here and showing them the very manifestation that took place. It began, and from the very beginning, Jesus Christ existed. He wasn't, when he came to Bethlehem, wasn't his beginning. Jesus Christ was always there. He was God. He is God. And now God is manifesting his love and who he was through Jesus Christ. If you want to know who I am, look at my son, tells you exactly who I am. So he was manifested, so that he would show us who God is. In the gospel, John tells us periods of time of Christ, of his eternity before, is not, it began when he was at Bethlehem. It began in the garden when God created everything that we see here before us today. God created that and was not, and we go over to John, it talks about the very fact that nothing was made without him. Everything that came into existence was because of Jesus Christ. He was the very word of God. And it's manifested, and we have seen it. We have heard it as John is writing here in the first part of John chapter number 1. You think about it. There's three things here that John is speaking of that he wants us to know. That first of all, it was the word of God. It was manifested. Jesus Christ is the very word of God. And when we go to the Bible, the things that Jesus Christ speaks of, the things that Jesus Christ told his disciples, they heard everything that Jesus said because Jesus was God and he was speaking to them. And they could testify of the very fact that we have seen it, we have heard it, our hands have handled the word of life. We have the word of life this morning in our hands, and we can handle the word of God, and we can also see God on the pages of this book when you get into it. We can know him. We can hear from him. The very same thing that John was trying to get across to those that he was writing to. And Jesus Christ was manifested to them. Not only was he manifested, but Jesus Christ is proven of this manifestation took place in threefolds of manifestation to prove adequately his humanity. He didn't lose his ability to be God by coming and taking on flesh, as Brother Carpenter talked about this morning, that in Philippians chapter 2, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and came obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus Christ stepped out of glory to come and die on a cross for your sin and for my sin. And he spoke about that. And John is writing, and to prove that, he says here, he says, that which we have heard. John is telling to his fellow disciples of Jesus Christ, they hear Jesus Christ speak on many occasions. If you think about it this morning, I wonder what did they hear him say? We could go back to John chapter number 1 and go through it, and there's some very important things. One of the things that comes to my mind is John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I wonder, did they hear that? Because they said, we've heard him, and we speak of the things that we heard. You know, when I hear the word of God, I get excited about it, and I want to speak and talk about the things of the word of God, because the word of God is what has changed my life. It'll change your life. And I believe that's what John wanted them to understand. That's what we've heard, and that's what we've seen. It was an extremely privilege for them to hear God speak audibly. You know what? God may not come to you and tap you on the shoulder and say, Miss Dawson, I need you to do this. But if you get into his word, he still speaks to you. And he shows you who he is. He tells you what he wants from you. He'll give you guidance. He'll give you direction. He'll tell you what you want, what you need to hear. You may not want to hear it, but you hear many people say, this book here, sin would either keep you from this book or this book would keep you from sin. So you have a choice this morning as to what you would do with the word of God. And Bible tells us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We need to hear the word of God. So the word was made flesh, and John said it dwelt among us. We heard it, but we also is the seeing. We have seen him. In other words, the accomplishing of Jesus Christ during his ministry meant that they saw his ministry continually. They saw it. I wonder, when you think about it, they saw the lame walk. They saw how he made the blind see. They saw how the woman who said, who knew everything that I ever done. They saw that. They saw how when those that were struggling, when he says, must go away. He said, but if I go, I shall do what? I shall come again. And I will receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. I don't know about you, but I get excited about the fact that Jesus is coming back one day. And I can read it because I know what the Bible says, but they heard him tell them that. And he tells us the same thing if we open up his book. We get his promises. They're the same today to us. So that not only was it the seeing, but the hearing, but the seeing. Then think about it. You can still see Jesus Christ in this book. We're not without. And you know what? When you want to hear from God, you know, it's like a little small, still voice. But sometimes we get so busy in our busyness that we don't hear God speak to us. We're so caught up in doing, I raise my hand, we get so caught up in doing what we want to do. As Brother Carpenter said this morning, we don't know what God wants to do. And it's sad sometimes that even through what we go through, God can't get us our attention, but you know, he still accomplished what he wants to do, even without us. And we're blessed sometimes, even in our own faults and in our own mistakes, God still blesses us because his word shall never return to him void. He shall accomplish where I please, and wherever I send it, it shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that which I intend to accomplish. That's his word. And Jesus Christ, when I think about my girls, one of them, they say, folks say anyway, I know they all look good because they look like that. No, just kidding. They both beautiful young ladies because they look like their mother. But you know what? If you want to know something about Teresa and I, you can look at them and see a lot about us because we see ourselves in them. And people have said years ago, if you want to know what parents are like, go in the nursery and watch their kids. Yeah. Amen. And you want to know what they're like sometimes, look at their kids because they'll tell you what their parents are like, amen? And when we look at Jesus Christ, he tells us who God is. He says, for God loves us. And he sent his son to die for us. And John said, not only hearing, but seeing. And we were able to handle him. So handling was important. You think about it. When he came to his disciples, said, look at my hand. Look at my feet. Look at what I've done to you. Examine me. the pierced nails that went through my hand, the spur that stuck in my feet. They've handled of the word of God. They saw the miracles. They saw all the things that Jesus Christ did. And John says, these things, we not only were manifested, but we declare them unto you. That you what? That your joy might be full. He says, and this is the life. He says, we have heard it. We have seen it with our own eyes. We have looked upon it. And our hands have handled of the word of life. You know what? Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Life is in the word. The life is in the word of God. Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of God can take the word of God, pierce our depths of our hearts and our souls, convict us about our sin. We can get right with God by through salvation. We can stay right with God through the word of God when it does what it is supposed to do in our lives through the Holy Spirit of God working in our hearts and lives. The word of God. It's life in it. And it reveals life. It not only saves our lives, but it saves us from ourselves. It saves lives. It preserves life. The word of God is just that powerful. And it was manifested and they could see it. I want you to see, first of all, the manifestation. But notice also the declaration of it. He wanted them to understand the word of God was so important. I think about it. Not only was the proving of this manifestation, but the proof of it was in Jesus Christ. Not only that, he says, behold, my hands and my feet. He says, and feet, that I myself handle, he says, my hands and my feet, that is, it is I myself, handle me and see me and see. For a spirit have no flesh, nor I am bones, as ye see me have. They touched him. They examined him. They handled him. The proof of overwhelming support and proof in their faith was solidified. When you think about what Jesus Christ really is, he's a picture of who God is. He portrayed a portrait of God is his word. He was the manifestation of Christ was the fact that they gave him the title being the word, but it also tells us this title that he had. Christ is a portrait. He is the word of life. The word gives life to man. If in him is life, as verse number 4 says, in him is life. I am come that you might have life, and you might have it more abundantly, John 10:10. Jesus Christ, through his incarnated humanity, this does not take away his ability to give eternal life. He can give us eternal life. Think about it this morning. We see his word and how important his word was. We see the importance of his word, but not only do we see the importance of his word, but notice what it says in verse number 2. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and we bear witness. Jesus Christ, or John is writing here, they are witnesses of who Jesus Christ really was. You know what? If you've been saved, God wants you to be a witness. When the last time you told somebody about how good God really is? As Brother Carpenter said this morning, we did the same thing when we go out to the foyer. We talk about basketball. We talk about everything under the sun. But you know what ought to be off the praise of our lips is who Jesus is. Being a witness and telling somebody about who he is. When he makes a difference in your life, you can't help but talk about who he is. We were joking and talking about, we had this young man some weeks ago. He came and he wanted to talk to Pastor Nye. He's going to tell us about the Quran and how we need to listen to him as he talks about the Quran. I said, okay, you want us to listen to you and you don't even have a copy of it. I want you to listen to me because I have a copy of what I believe. He said, but we want to talk about, why don't y'all just put aside that Bible? No, we're not going to put aside the word of God because that's what I believe. And it speaks for itself. Because what I say doesn't mean anything. What is said and what we believe in is this book. But y'all got to keep bringing out this book. But you know what? You can't bring out any better book. You can't speak of any greater thing. It's to show somebody from the Bible what the Bible says. You can't show me from the Quran that gives me the assurance of my salvation. You can't give me the assurance that my sins have been paid for. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Nobody else can make that claim. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Nobody else can make that claim. No other religion, no other person could ever make that claim but Jesus Christ. Well, why would I believe in somebody else or something else? And when you go to the tomb, it's empty. Buddha, all of them, you go there, their bones still there. So they can't do nothing for me. But Jesus Christ can. He can do something for you. You don't want to believe it. You know what? You don't have to believe it. But you know what? It don't change the fact. I believe what I believe because I believe what the Bible says, and I'm going to stand on it. And if I die, I'm not going to go to hell according to this Bible, but you die in your sins, you're going to go to a place called hell because you've never trusted in the blood of Jesus Christ and never trust what God did to satisfy himself. See, God ain't asking us to satisfy him. He sent his son to satisfy him, to pay for our sin. To pay a debt we could never pay. Jesus paid it all. It is finished. He accomplished what God wanted to be accomplished. So we see his word, but God wanted them to be a witness. And he says we are a witness. He says that we bear witness and show unto you the eternal life which was with the Father and manifested unto us. God wants us to be a witness this morning. God wants us to be a witness, but we can't witness, I'm afraid, sometimes because we want to still, even as Christians, to walk in darkness. See, what John was trying to get across to them is that if you want to have a relationship with God, you got to trust his word. And if you trust his word, you ought to be a witness to his word. But if you're going to be trusting his word and be a witness of his word, you got to walk in the light as he is in the light. Because if you're not walking in the light, you don't have a good testimony. So three things, and for that to happen, you got to walk in the light as he is in the light. But the Bible tells us men love darkness more than they do light. And we, even as Christians, we got to come out of the darkness and come into the light and walk in the light as he is in the light. And then we can have fellowship one with another, and we can have fellowship with God. See, we can't have fellowship with God truly if we want to go our own way, do our own thing, and not walk with him. Notice what he says here. He says, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. That in verse 3, so let me read that one. That which we have seen and heard, we declare unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. They believed it. They gave testimony of it. They were followers. They were sharing it with them so that they can have that same fellowship that we have with God because of who Jesus Christ really is. See, God wants to restore what was broken. John knew that. And he's writing to his children so that they would understand that. And in order for you to do and understand what he says here, and he says, these things I write unto you. I love how Contilia wrote out some of the things that she said about how life began for her dad and how he was her hero. But this is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And if we say we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. He wanted them to understand, and I believe that is one of the greatest detriments that hinder most Christians from their joy of being filled, is because we're not walking with God the way that we ought to. We still want to walk in darkness. we still want to have the relationship with the world. We want to have one foot in. No, I say one foot. Not maybe that whole leg across there. And that's dangerous, folks. Because the two can't exist. You can't say you love God and continue to do the things that are not pleasing to God. You know, it's like this. Some people say, well, I didn't tell a lie. But a lie is a lie if you don't tell the truth. If you only tell part of it, it's still a lie. And if you're only living partially for God, you're still not living for God. You can't have one leg in the world and say that you love God the way that you ought to love God. I'm glad that he came to save the whole world, not just part of it, because you don't know what part you would have been in if he only came to save part of it. Aren't you glad he came to save the whole world? So that didn't leave me out. I had to go to Turtle Home, Spain to get it, but that's where I got it. I'm so glad that he was there. And there was a missionary there that was preaching the gospel. I had never heard it all of my life. But when it got a hold of me, I wanted to come out of them nightclubs. I wanted to take off those, Brother Neil probably know about them big collar shirts, them platform shoes, them bell bottoms, them Flag Brothers specials. When I got saved, I wanted to walk in the light. I couldn't keep going to those same places. I couldn't keep doing those same things. And a lot of people still want to do that. And let me say this. This is just one of those commercials. Yeah. You know what? All of us have made mistakes. Mm-hmm. But we got to start somewhere. And we may have to live with some of the bad choices that we made. Mm-hmm. But you know what? God still loves me. I'm still his child. Mm-hmm. And no matter where they go, I'm still their father. Teresa's still their mother. And we're going to love them. We may not like what they do or love what they do, but we're going to still love them because they're our children. God is still going to love us because we're his children. But there's some things God is not going to tolerate, and we're not going to be in a relationship. You know, that's why the beginning is so important, because when they sinned, God would not allow sin in his presence, so he had to put them outside of the garden. Because sin cannot exist where light is. We can turn these lights off and darkness will overwhelm this place. But as soon as the lights come on, darkness dissipates. And if we want to be the walk with God, we got to stay in the light. Stay in his word, be a witness, and walk in the light as he is in the light. Let me quickly share some other truths that we find here as John is talking about the importance of his word, the manifestation of it. But I want us to see tonight the message. Look at it. He says in verse number 5, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." Wow. The message of the message is about our Father. God is light. He's the light of the world. And John tells us he came into the world, and the world loved, as we said earlier, the world loved darkness more than they loved light. You know why people reject Jesus Christ? Because he shed light on their sin. And they much rather live in their sin than to live for God. And want to make excuses that why, if their God is so loving, why would he let these things happen? You know what? God is not going to force you to live for him. He ain't force you to get saved. He's not going to force you to follow him. He's not going to force you into fellowshipping with him. God gives us a free will to do what we do, because we either do it because we love him or we do it because we want to reject him. Because God is light. And that is the message that he was wanting them to see. The importance of the Father and his position. Because God's position never changed. He's still God. He's still light. And Jesus Christ is the message that he's bringing and showing them who God really was. If you want to know who God is, look to my son. Not only do we see the message about the father, but also notice the message about the fakers. Look at verse number 6. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, notice what he says. And we walk in darkness as if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. The fakers want us to think that they walking with God and really they're not walking with God. So you can try to fake that you walking with God, but you know what? You can't fake that you walking with God because it's going to be revealed. Because what's on the inside is going to show on the outside. And if you faking it, you know what? After a while, it's going to come. The cream is going to come to the top. You can't fake walking with God and expect people who know God to believe that you are. Not that you got to prove anything to me, but I may not be able to examine the root, but I can show be a fruit examiner. Because there ought to be some fruit in your life. You can't fake walking for God. And many people want to fake it like they're doing it. You know what? There's nothing wrong with just being honest with yourselves and say, God, I failed you today. Forgive me and help me to do better. I don't come to you this morning and trying to tell you that I got it all together. Because if I did, I would be lying. And the first thing I would tell you to do is ask my wife. Because she knows. She sees more than what you all ever see. And I ain't trying to brag on myself. And if you be honest with yourself, you're not what you ought to be either. So you can't fake living for God. Because it's going to show. It's going to show in your actions. It's going to show where you go. It's going to show where you live. It's going to show how you speak. It's going to show how you walk. It's going to show how you talk. It's going to show how you treat other people. It's going to show whether you're willing to forgive people. Are you going to harbor bitterness in your heart? When you're walking with God, you can't do those things and please God. So just stop faking it. Because he's going to say, if you say that you have no sin, you're lying to yourself. Just be honest and say, God, forgive me. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to do what? To forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. I think John 1:9 was there because God knew we were going to still sin. Because, folks, we got an old sin nature. What happens to you when they put on them old 70s? I look at Brother Serge because he's right there with me. Yeah. I look at Brother Neil when they put it. Much of your other kids don't even understand nothing about the four tops, good, the temptations, hey. Isaac Hayes. Y'all mean sing like? No, just kidding. y'all don't know nothing about them. But you know what? I don't want to hear that. I'm not trying to go back to the nightclubs. I'm not trying to live in the past. I want to walk in the light as he's in the light. I want to have fellowship with him. I don't want to fake it because you know what? I would fail. And if you be honest with yourself, don't fake it. Just confess it. Amen. Just get it right. And I'm not saying you ought to just go out and do it and keep coming back to God for the same thing because you ought not. I believe with all my heart, my girls would tell you that one of the things that dad always wanted them to do was to live for God. I can't make them do it. I'm not going to try to make them do it. Because if they did it for me, they won't do it long. But if they do it for God, they'll do it for a while. And they might make some mistakes along the way. But 1 John 1:9 is still there. It is there for them. And it's there for you. It's there for me. So don't be a faker. Amen. And he says, in verse 6, and you say that you have fellowship with him, you can't have fellowship with God when you're faking it. To have fellowship with God, we got to walk in the light as he is in the light. I got to be in his word. I got to read his word. I got to spend time in prayer. I got to spend time in the word of God. I got to listen to good music. I got to listen to good messages. I got to be in fellowship with other Christians. I got to hear how God is working in somebody else's life because I need to hear how God is working in somebody else's life. Be just like Miss Smith was saying, how important it is sometimes when God just gives you just something to just to encourage you. Because I want to be in fellowship with God. When I got that call from my son, I called him my son, oh, Joe. Pastor, I just want to talk to you. Go ahead, son. I want to hear your voice, too. Because we can have fellowship. I tell you, another one that calls me his son is my uncle in California. Sometimes, Brother Serge, I just want to call him so I can hear his voice. And he called me son. I love to hear him say that. Now, son, how you doing? You know, those things are just encouraging. And when we get in the Word of God sometimes, I was telling Miss Jerry, sometimes you can just open the Bible and God just, everything about that book is just good. You can read a passage of Scripture and God just shows you something, just if it don't say nothing, but I love you. Casting all your cares upon me because I care for you. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. And lean not into thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Boy, that's just good stuff. And I can get in fellowship with God. And sometimes I just need a brother to just call me up and tell me that God is working in his life. You know, this ain't even, I just remember Teresa and I was going to make some decisions this week. And I think she don't mind me saying it. We were going to make a decision about something that we were going to do. You don't need to know all that, okay? All right. Anyway, so we get up. What was this, honey? Thursday morning? Was it Thursday morning? And she said, honey, you know what? That's just a want. It's not a need. I said, praise God!
Hallelujah.
Because I don't want to be the one to say no all the time. My girl said, Dad, you said enough of that to us when we was growing up. Amen? But Mom's a little different. But you know what? I praise God. Because God answers prayer. And I told her, we've been married too long. It's like we think alike. But let's carry out what we have set out to do this year. And trust God. That if that happens and come to fruition, that's okay. And if it don't, we ain't lost nothing. We still love each other. We still have each other. And we're going to have these two wonderful girls that's going to be here on Thursday. Wanting more money. No, just kidding. They didn't. But he talks about the Father. He talks about the fellowship. He says, if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So we see the Father, the fakers, the fellowship, but the fluid. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Jesus Christ had to share his blood. It was a perfect lamb. The blood atoned for our sin. And that's the only payment that God will accept for our sin. Aren't you glad that he was willing to shed his blood for your sin and for my sin? And not just my sin, but for the entire world. He did it. His payment satisfied a holy God. It did more than you and I could ever do. It's like this, having a bank account, and you can put money in it all your life, and you never know when you got enough in it. But when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the bank's already full. It pays the debt. It satisfies God. And we're saved. And I'm not saying we ought to do it haphazardly, but we ought to understand that he gave his life. He sacrificed. He took your sin, my sin, and the sins of the entire world. He took them on him so that he could satisfy God.
I hope y'all never get over that. Because he did it for you. He did it for me. And we ought to want to live by his word. Be a witness. To walk in fellowship with God. It was manifested to us. The declaration is given. And this is the message. That God, the Father, no fakers, fellowship, amen?
Amen.
The fluid that was shed was his blood and the folly. Notice what the folly is. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Amen?
Amen.
And the truth is not in us. When you just think that you got it all together, let me tell you, the truth ain't even in you, as our message here tells us. The truth ain't in you if you think that you got it all together. Amen? So this folly here, and if you confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The faker, you can't get by with it. Amen? The fellowship is out of order. The fluid that was shed was his blood. The folly here is that, you know what? People can talk all they want to and say, but salvation and forgiveness of our sin is only through Jesus Christ. Because that's what he says. And if we say we have no sin, because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So there's no perfection in us at all. So don't let nobody fool you that you say that you don't sin or they haven't sinned. Again, ask your wife or ask your husband. Amen. But I like what he says in verse number 9. The forgiveness in the message. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. Mankind does everything but confess his sin. Because the Bible says he loves darkness more than he do light. But God wants to forgive us. Even when we do wrong, he's forgiven us. The Bible says, but God commended his love towards us. Even that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The forgiveness is there. And even in our lives today, after our salvation, we can still come to God and ask for forgiveness when we fail and fallen short. We can ask for forgiveness because God is faithful and he's just and he will forgive us. And he wants to take his word and to cleanse us from all of this unrighteousness. Because if we walk in the light as he's in the light and have fellowship with him, and we come to God when we've done wrong and we've fallen short, we're going to be under conviction and we ought to want to get it right. Because the Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it is profitable for doctrine, the teacher, for reproof, to get us right, for correction, to turn us in the right way. For reproof for what? For doctrine, for correction, for instruction, so that we can be instructed on how to live right and do right. That the man of God may be what? Perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That we can be pleasing to God. We can come back into that relationship whenever we've fallen short. And I hope to say that this morning, anytime that our girls have did anything wrong, we all raise children. One thing your children ought to always know, that you're willing to forgive them. And I am so glad that I serve a God that's willing to forgive me when I come short of what he would have for me to do. And we always tell them that. We're going to always love you. But you know what? Sometimes we're going to have to live with the mistakes that we made. And that don't mean out that God is unfair. Because what a man soweth, he shall that so he also what? You're going to reap what you sow. But willing to accept what you sown because it was your mistake. It wasn't God's doing. It was some of the things that happened in your life is because you made some mistakes. But God is faithful and just to forgive us when we come. Because what God wants to do is keep the slate clean so the relationship can stay intact. Because if you can keep the relationship intact, you allow God to continue to work. But if you harbor sin in your heart, you can't be in relationship and fellowship with God. Because it cannot co-equally exist and God exists the way he wants to in your life when you do that. So,
Here's the message this morning. If you're not right with God, you ought to get right with God. And if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you need to accept Christ as Savior. Because that's what he came for. That's why John is writing about the importance of their relationship with God. And he's writing to his children. And he's expressing that which we was from the beginning, that which we have heard, that which we have seen, and that which we have looked upon, and that which we've handled of the word of life. And this life was manifested. And we have seen it, we bear witness, and we show it unto you, that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. And these things write unto you, that you your joy may be full. You can have the fulfilled life and having a right relationship with God, to realize that you're his child, and nothing that happens to you when you're a child of God happens by accident. God knows exactly what you need in your life, when you need it, how long you need it, when it needs to stop, when it needs to carry on. God knows exactly. We can trust him instead of trusting ourselves. Because when it's all said and done, he's still in charge. And I'm glad he is. And if we be honest with ourselves, if we want to walk in fellowship with God, we got to walk in the light. Come out of the darkness. Don't try to fake it. Amen. Just forsake it. Amen. Ask for forgiveness with a genuine heart of forgiveness so that you can stay in fellowship with God. Keep the slate clean. Amen. And God will keep the relationship where it needs to be. He ain't changed. He's the same today, forever. And when John is writing to these church or writing to his people, he says, so that we, notice how he uses this phrase. I'm going to close it. Notice how he uses the phrase. He says, and we have seen him and bear witness unto you and show unto you and was manifested unto us that you may have fellowship with us. Amen. So it points all of us out. Aren't you glad? We, us, you, all of us can come together and have fellowship with God. And not only did we can have fellowship with God, but we can have the right fellowship with each other. And that's a blessing too. What a tremendous thought when you think about it this morning. I could go on. Y'all say, well, we want to eat. Yeah. Amen. Me too. But I just pray this morning and ask you to think about it. We're going to have Natasha come and play a hymn of invitation. What about you this morning? You know, you think about it. The word was made flesh. They witness it. John wants them to be able to walk. So we see the manifestation of it. And then the declaration was of the message that he wanted them to understand who the Father was. Don't be fakers in what they're like. Have fellowship. The fluid, the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed us. The folly is that you have no sin, but you do. You can ask for forgiveness. And then we see the falsehood. If we say that we have no sin, we make God a liar. And we know God ain't a liar because he said we have sin. And we will sin because we have that old nature to do wrong. Heads bowed and eyes are closed. No one looking around. We're going to ask her to come and play a hymn of invitation. Father, thank you again for this morning. God, we thank you for the message. And I pray, dear God, if there be anyone here this morning under the sound of my voice who does not know Christ as Savior, that you give them the courage this morning to come forward. But I believe in my heart this morning, there might be one here this morning. Heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around. Maybe you're here this morning, you just be honest with yourself. Pastor White, I'm not sure that if I die, I go to heaven. I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to try to force you to do anything. God doesn't want anyone to be forced into following him. But maybe you'll slip up your hand, and this morning I want to do something that we always do, and as we're going to pray for you, maybe you're here this morning, you're not 100% sure that heaven is your home. Will you slip up your hand? I'm not going to come to you. I just want to pray for you. Is anybody here like that this morning? Maybe God has spoken to your heart. Maybe you're here this morning, and you've been saved, and you haven't been baptized, and you need to get baptized, being obedient to God. You know, being obedient to God is one of the first commandments that we all ought to follow. You know, when you get saved, you ought to get baptized. And maybe you need to come this morning to an old-fashioned altar and ask and come forward for baptism. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a member of this local church and you want to join and become a member of this church. We open the doors for that as well this morning. And maybe you're here this morning and God has spoken in your heart about your relationship with him and the forgiveness of your sin and how God wants you to confess it. Maybe you need to come to this old-fashioned altar and pray and ask God to forgive you this morning about some things that are going on. Natasha began to play, and let's all stand at our feet this morning, and we're going to have the hymn of invitation to play this morning. And maybe God has spoken in your heart about something that you need to do. And you move as according to what God is speaking and dealing with you about this morning. We're not going to come and ask that you come, not for my honor, not for my glory, but for the honor and glory of God. Whatever it is that God would have you to do this morning, the altar is open. God, how we pray this morning. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you that your son was willing to leave the glory of heaven and come to a place to save our soul, to die on a cross so that my sins would be forgiven. Lord, the sins of many that are here this morning and have that same testimony. But I pray, Lord, that we would not just be hearers of the word, we would be doers of the word. I pray this morning that it would help us to realize the importance that we've already heard this morning in the Sunday school hour about the importance of being a witness. Help us to be not only witnesses, Lord, but help us to have the right testimony. Help us to walk in the light as you are in the light, that we can have fellowship one with another. And truly, our fellowship ought to be with God the Father and with God the Son. And if it's where it ought to be, we can have true fellowship with one another. I pray that you bless, and maybe we need to get right in some of our relationships with each other so that we can walk in the light as you are in the light. God, you work just how you see fit. Father, thank you again for this morning. We thank you for the blessings. God, we thank you for your word. I'm truly thankful this morning for our girls being here with us. Thank you for bringing Brother Carpenter here, Lord, and our abilities because of missions giving to be able to support him. Pray you continue to work and bless in his wife, in her life, and raise her up. Lord, and maybe she might be able to come tonight, but we do pray again for your healing power upon her, that you work in a special way. And again, as we end the service, Lord, I pray, again, that be, give us safety as we leave here. Bring us back at the appointed time. Head bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to ask, Brother Neil, if you come and close us in prayer.